Today's topic is electricity on Shabbos, and the truth is, even the poskim who are going to try to be a little bit more makel than some of the other ones, their reaction is try to avoid using it at all to the best you possibly can. Meaning, we try to avoid turning it on, turning it off, even when we'll have to be makel for whatever reason. The first approach, I mean, Rav Asher Weiss writes this in a tshuva, while he's being makel, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz writes this in a tshuva. The general approach is to have also a little bit of an unknown is how to deal with it halakhically. If we could, probably the best would be to try to stay away from it. But the problem is not a problem. The realities are that we're not going to be able to, for many, many reasons. And that's where we have to start breaking it down, what exactly these serim are involved. Firstly, in terms of there are certain srachim, there are certain needs, where we have to figure out what isurim are involved in terms of using electricity, in terms of turning it on, turning it off, etc. Let's say for cholim, for security, for hatzalah, for you have a blaring alarm at 3 o'clock in the morning, so if you simply let it blare the entire, wake up the whole neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's not the best way to make friends. So what exactly do you do in that situation? So again, it's very difficult to simply say, avoid all shilas and simply be machmir on everything in that situation. What exactly is the nature of the serum that we're talking about? Okay, those are in terms of unique situations, things which come up, but they come up regularly. Then, beyond that, simply, not talking unique situations, and simply day-to-day, Shabbos to Shabbos life, whether we like it or not, we come in contact, and we're turning on and off things, again, like it or not, about a billion times a day, in terms of floodlights, in terms of security cameras, in terms of thermostats, and simply our day-to-day things that we do so regularly, we have to change everything on Shabbos because of these reasons. So, for a moment, before I get back to electricity, which is obviously the main part of what today's talk is, I'd like to present 8 questions which I think are going to be necessary in answering and in setting up at the shilas which come up and which you're going to be getting regularly, just in figuring out what isurim are involved. So before I actually get to electricity, I just want to broaden the discussion a little bit. The truth is, very few things are done the way they were, other than an Amish country. Very few things are done the way they were way back when, before electricity was invented. Meaning, back in the day, probably people used to wash their clothing by hand. They used to grind their flour with some type of with hand, or maybe some type of water mill or something like that. Etc. etc. Everything was done by hand. Now we have washing machines, typewriters, tractors. We don't even have typewriters anymore, but tractors, milking machines, electric drills, power saws, sewing machines, shavers, lawnmowers, bread makers, food processors, mechule, mechule. And before you start talking about electricity and what the gather of the malacha is over there, what Yisurim could possibly be involved over there, one simply has to figure out there's some other malacha that I'm doing in that situation. Well, when I'm washing a beggar with an electric washing machine, lachora, just forget about the electricity shabbat, it still is kibbutz, it still is libun, and that's, in other words, the first thing we have to figure out is the malacha that I'm doing, and just because it's being done with electricity, probably shouldn't change it from being that malacha. It's probably still going to be kibbutz, and typing with the typewriter is still going to be ksiva, and using a tractor is still going to be choresh, v'chule, v'chule, down the line. And I think you got the point in terms of just simply, in terms of that, what malacha is involved. However, some of the times, it may be a bit more questionable, gufa, because I'm using electricity, I'm using some new new way of accomplishing the same similar type of what was done. I'm going to present them right now, and again, I'm not going to present them in full. Just raise the questions, but they're very important. Question number one, which was one of the first questions which was asked, is probably one of the earlier usages of electricity, was turning on lights. So this question largely has become itself a thing of the past, but it used to be lights were gufa lights which were created through heat. The friction itself was a form of heat. The old school lights, Nuros Chashmal, were they a form of Havara? And Shlomo Zalman, he not on that, and he, as well as others, I should point out, not everyone agreed, but there are many who thought, many postmodern thought, the original lights were considered Havara, based on a Rambam, in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, tells us that when it heats up matechas, that too is considered havara. So in terms of the old school lights, but the truth is most of our new lights, the LED lights, are not, there's no heat involved. Most of our lights are different forms of lights, and that discussion, told even those old lights are almost out of use completely. They don't allow you to make them, I think.
That's true,
right?
In New York, I don't know about anywhere.
Okay, so once it starts in New York, Mastama will end up somewhere else soon. That certainly is out of vogue at this point.
You mean the incandescent light bulbs?
Incandescent light bulbs, yes. The incandescent light bulbs. So those originally, most poskim thought they were havara. So in other words, I was turning on the light. Forget about the issue of electricity per se. The light itself would have been a problem. Another example of things which were put into question: how about writing onto a computer screen? So is that ksiva or not? So the poskim, again, I'm not going to be marach on this right now. These are all separate discussions which need to be ma'ayin on. However, they're. Many poskim would think it's not ksiva d'oraisa. Ksiva d'oraisa is only when I actually have ink on paper, the two cling together, not when I simply have, I'll present to the other extreme first, and where this fits in needs to us. Pretty simply, if I would walk in front of a mirror, if I put up letters in front of a mirror and I show a reflection on the wall, then mistama, that's not going to be ksiva. So how do I view typing on a computer screen? The verdict still needs to be in. Some people, many will tell you that that's more like writing on the mirror. You're not really, you're shining things onto the screen. It's not truly on the screen. Others will tell you, what do you mean? It's on the screen. It's not exactly on the mirror. So, but ksiva ala machashi gufa needs to be thought about again from the standpoint of Hilchos ksiva, not from the standpoint of Hilchos electricity. Another example of the same, have a cooking on day microwaves, the tshuva of Rav Moshe about that. Cooking needs eish. So is, from the standpoint of Hilchos Bishul, cooking on day microwave, is that considered Bishul? Those are some examples of that. I'm going to skip electricity for the moment. That's the next issue, is what is the issur of electricity? That's the second question. I'm going to get back to that in a few moments. In other words, without any other malacha, I'm just simply turning on a fan. A fan is not one of the lamentas malachos per se. Right? It's not bishul when I turn on a fan. I'm making myself colder. It's not bishul, it's not havara. So what malacha, is there something involved? So that we'll talk about in a few moments, what is involved in electricity itself. The third question, again, which one has to relate to whenever they're dealing with one of these new shilas, is to what degree do I have kavana for what I'm doing? To what degree do I have kavana for what I'm doing? Because right now we're at the stage where a person walks into their front door, and in theory the light could go on, and automatically the computer could start cooking them dinner, I think. And So what, are you allowed to walk home to the, walk in the door if that's going to generate all types of other things at the same time? Some you're mechaving to, some you're not mechaving to. It's going to matter if it's a psik resha, psik resha, the lo nechale, psik resha, the lo nechales, and defining all of those categories need work. Some of them we'll get back to soon, but Lamashal, if I know that every single time I'm the only person in the I'm the only person in the house, and every time I empty out the water, there's a good chance that it's possible that the water, that the thermostats will now go on, cold water, the hot water, whatever it's going to be. So if I'm the only person in the house, so do I say over the, I'm going to use the water 15 times throughout the day, so do I say, for example, that since I, every time that I use it, lav dafka, that the water is going to, that the thermostat's going to go back on, and that it's going to heat up the water again, or do I say, since over the course of 15 times, it's vada going to happen, do I add the two, do I add the 15 times together, or do I say it's only one time? That's one question out of many in terms of how to determine what is a psik resha or not. Again, I'm just raising questions, food for thought, and things, important questions which you'll have to deal with in answering these type of shilas. Or beyond that, in terms of miskavin or eno miskavin, how about misasik? We do many, many things, misasik, things I don't know about in the first place. So you ask me, if I don't know about it in the first place, that's very, how could you find about such a shilah you don't know about it in the first place? It's a good question. But one could answer that, could we or do we have to do take the necessary precautions to avoid that in the first place? The hainu. Should one put up a protection against the, should one put up the Shabbos switch to say that this is Shabbos and to remind everybody that it's Shabbos? Does one have to check their pockets? Does one have to avoid doing things b'mis asik? Or further, do I have to tell somebody when you see someone, when they're being over b'mis asik? All of these need to be thought out. Question number four would be, is one violating this iser, or whatever, this potential iser, in the form of a direct maisa or in the form of grumma? In the form of grumma, obviously, defining grumma is not an easy job. Ramban wrote an entire work on it. But that gufa needs to be thought about. When I walk into, just one example out of many, when I walk into a room, and I, by the course of walking into that room, eventually the thermostat, by opening the door, the thermostat's going to go up or down in whatever way it's going, and it may or may, and eventually it's going to cause the air conditioner to go on faster, eventually it's going to turn the heater to go on faster. So is that a direct maisa, is that a maisa, is that a grumma, had it done on that? Shlomo Zalman dealt with electricity itself. Is electricity, all uses of electricity. Usually when you light a fire, since we light the match and the fire is lit, if I touch something on the wall, an automatic, and that's going to be a fire, is that it's going to cause an incandescent light to be built, to be lit, is that gufa going to be a grumma? So Shlomo Zalman dines at that a great length, and he assumes, of course not. He assumes it's not a grumma at all, but there's a long discussion, gufa, within that. How about setting a timer? Set a timer for later. Is that a maisa or is that a grumma? Set it on Shabbos, I'm talking about. If I set a timer on Shabbos to go on later on Shabbos, is that a maisa? Am I gufa turning it on, albeit in 2 hours? Or, no, it's a grumma. So it's not a maisa at all. So it seems to be a machlokas haposkim. Variation within this maisa grumma discussion, is Ma'aneinu, we're able to do, because of the use of electricity, we're able to harness all types of machinery and all types of gadgets, where it used to be, in order to do a malacha, one actually had to get up and do some work, one had to do something. Now, one simply, all they have to do is order their phone to call so-and-so, and now their phone calls so-and-so. I didn't pick up anything, all I did was speak. Could one violate a malacha by simply speaking? The dibur ba'alma. Could one violate a malacha? Is that considered a maisa for these purposes? Could one do it even b'machshava? They speak about for brain-computer interface. They speak about rachmana litzlan for an individual who's handicapped. and they can't communicate in other forms. So could they just simply, they hook up wiring to the brain and the machine to the wires to a computer, and through that by the person thinking, that gufa generates things on the computer, it causes actions to be done. So is that considered a maisa or not, and how to do that? Similarly, we're able to do things, how about a person's weight, a person's heat, meaning have elevator shilas. They're going into an elevator because of a person's weight, not really active, just simply the weight itself does something. Or a person's heat, in terms of heat, which picks up a person's heat, and sensors, thank you. Sensors, a person's heat, or a person's question which came up recently, a person is allowed to, probably easier for a chola, but for a non-chola, they allow to wear a halter. A halter is where you put something on and that doesn't regulate, it monitors a person's heartbeat to see how often it beats. So it's make-believe some malacha is being, make-believe something is happening on the machinery because your heart is beating. So do you have to stop your heart to Shabbos? No, probably not. I don't, not recommend it. But should you wear such a thing in the first place? Should you wear such a thing in the first place, knowing that your heart is going to beat on Shabbos? A fifth question to be asked within all of these questions, within this arena, would be: we have a concept, again, how it applies is whether or not something is miskayim or eino miskayim. In order to be mechayim on Shabbos, it has to be melecha miskayim. It has to have some type of, it has to last in some type of way. It has to have some type of perseverance. So if I type on a computer screen, let's make believe for a moment that it is ksiva. So how long is it going to last? Does that matter? How about if simply I speak into a microphone? I speak into a microphone, or I speak into somebody's hearing aid. So make believe there's some iser involved over there. We'll talk about that. But at best, it's going to last the fleeting second of your speech. So is that gufa, the fact that it's in a miskayim, is that going to change the dynamic? Sixth very, very important question is, did one do this malacha kedarko or bishinoi? It was considered bishinoi. I mean, you should note that probably gufa, the fact, as we mentioned at the beginning, everything is being done as a shinui from the way it was done in the Mishkan. Or in the Mishkan, it wasn't done with computers. It wasn't done with machines. So do I say that's a shinui? So the answer to that is not. Just because it's done a different way than the Mishkan, albeit a better, more efficient way, that's not going to be considered a problem. But so how about if I walk into the room, if it turns on my light, I walk in backwards, is that considered a shinui? How about the BCI that I mentioned before, the brain-computer interface? So that individual can't relate to anybody else in any other way. For him, is that kedarko or not? Is that a shinoi? Finally, the last two questions, which are necessary to think about, are in terms of muktza. In muktza, someone leaves on an alarm in your house. You know it's going to go off at 5 o'clock in the morning. So parenthetically, there's a halacha, the Zohar Kaddish writes, Lo sivar u'ish b'chol mos joseph, that means you shouldn't get angry on Shabbos. Don't get angry at that person. Okay, so don't get angry at that person just because he left on the alarm. But now, the alarm is on in your room. It's going to be, you know it's going to go on at 5 o'clock in the morning. So are you allowed to do something? Let's say you're allowed to move the alarm somewhere else. So is that a muksa? It's a muksa, Shaila. How to view that? I'm allowed to turn the fan towards me away from me, the light towards me away from me. Similarly, the last question, which I think is worth an honorable mention, I want to finish with, and another reason, as I mentioned before, besides the unknown, which comes out of why poskim are very against turning on and off all forms of electricity on Shabbos, is besides the unknown of what exactly malacha entails, is there's another component of ovdin dechol / delusa de Shabbos, where in theory, one could probably technically not violate any other Isser Shabbos, yet treat Shabbos completely as a Yom Chol And by having all types of gadgets, by having his entire business running, his entire factory running on Shabbos through all types of machinery, all types of... And clearly that would be a violation of Ovna Dechol, Zeglusa de Shabbos, Avsha Milsa, etc. Maris Ayin also should be thrown in as well. So those eight questions, again, I'm sorry I didn't elaborate probably enough on each. We could talk about any one of them for a very significant period of time, but though I think just Gufa being able to set up those eight questions, I think is a chashiv adav. It's important to... Now, by the way, in the paper, I think in the Marmakomos, which Rabbi Orlean sent out, is a list of svarim, which deal with many of these topics, and the best of them is, of course, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but besides he himself, that he recently came out, and Orei Eish HaShalem, Orei Eish was his tremendous work, which he wrote when he was 25 years old, approximately. I don't know where I was at that point. He was able to put out a work to that degree, and largely was dealing with the Chazon Ish, which we'll talk about in a moment, and throughout his years, he became really the foremost posek on Inyani technology and electricity, and they put out, besides the Ma'ori Eish, they put out all of the Shailas, which he dealt with, the Shaito, and their Arichos with footnotes, and in back of it, they have a Sefer written by Zalman Menachem Korn, wrote other Sfarim as well. Apparently he was he's an engineer of some sort, and he explains the mitzius that Rav Shlomo Zalman was dealing with b'shaito in each of these situations, and everything he was battling with, things which we didn't always understand what they're talking about, explains everything in a very clear fashion. I highly recommend it. It goes through all the issues which deal with refrigerators, and deal with microphones. Every type of issue he deals with at great length. Okay, now that we spoke about all of that on a tangent for such a long time, now let's get back to the Iker topic. Though I think really, I believe what I did was worth it. I think it's good just to set up those eight shilohs in an organized fashion. It's good. Now, in terms of electricity itself, in other words, if you turn on a fan, you turn on an air conditioner, a radio, what exactly are the Isurim? Let me start again. Is it necessarily us, or what are the Isurim involved? What I'm about to say, I'm about to provide several different reasons, but this is not going to be like a multiple choice test. Multiple choice test is one right answer, and we know there is definitely one right answer. In this situation, lav dafka do we know that there's definitely one right answer. But there also could be five right answers. They could be all of these could be right, and just because for some technical reason it may not be one of the reasons that we're about to provide that it's going to be us or it doesn't apply doesn't necessarily mean another one doesn't apply. These are not mutually exclusive by any means. It's not like there's a pasuk which says that electricity is us or, and just figuring out how to understand the pasuk. So. The early Achronim who dealt with this speak about it in the following way. We know there's an Isser on Yontif of Ein Motzi and Esa'or. We can't just simply create a new fire on Shabbos. On Yontif, I'm sorry. Even though Yontif Havara is Mutter, the Nisa Rabbanon of Molid, of creating something new, you can't be Ein Motzi and Esa'or. It's Mishnah there. Now, so the Baal Arach HaShulchan in the base of Vav L'Chachamim in Tuf Reish Samach Gimel, 112 years ago, suggested the following. He thought that in terms of using electricity, what's the problem? The problem would be Havara, the problem is fire. And therefore, the fire he thinks is already there in the wires. Just it's not, it's only theoretical. When the opposites attract, when they come together, the negative and the positive. Yotzah ha'esh la'pol, the fire actualizes itself. Therefore, he had this huge chiddush that you could use electricity on Yontif. A lot of chiddush in there. But his assumption was that electricity was based on fire, and I think it still has some people with manenu who aren't really aware of what's the issue. They tell you, isn't it some type of fire? And that's what the early poskim thought. But he admits, when he was saying that, that this is what my gut feeling is, based on what I understand. But it's not found in most of our cities. That we could actually figure it out. I'm not sure we can say that anymore. I think Bismanenu is probably Mutzlech. Right? So the Aruch HaShulchan admits that he may not have it fully right. And the truth is, he probably didn't have it. He did not have it pretty right. If we're going to base the Ister based on Havara, that seems to be incorrect, and that would be... That's not what it is. I think that's the way it's explained to me. If there were fires in the wires, we'd be in deep trouble. Now, so what then could it possibly be? So, probably the most famous discussion about this has to be in. Yeah?
I just want to, so he didn't touch upon, like, who did the call at all? I guess because maybe it wasn't so common to...
Apparently he thought it was part of Havara. Once you're able to light a fire, he thought this would be mutter also. It was like it's taking a fire from existing fire. It was lighting... Well, the only issue there was lighting a fire. It was probably lighting an incandescent light. So once it was mutter to light a candle, this would be the same. I imagine. That's probably what he was coming. He didn't take anything else into account, and we'll talk about soon. Again, he didn't... It's clear he didn't have a full understanding of it. So that's the... And he admits that fully. He said that very famous. Now, so probably the most famous discussions begin with the Chazon Ish. You have to, in order to talk about this properly, you have to speak about the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish in Arachayim, Semenun, Sekon Tes. Besides everything else he was speaking about over there, I believe it was speaking official. Od Yesh Bazeh, referring to Hadlokas Chashmal, Mishom Tikun Mana. You're fixing an item. Korov Adover, he himself is somewhat unsure, but he has a gut feeling again that it's a form of binyan. Just like one is making a kli. Again, just take it a step back. We know the Gemara tells us ein binyan b'kelim. Ein binyan b'kelim. The Gemara makes a statement. We also know there's a huge machlokas between Rashi and Tosis about 10 times throughout the Masechta Shabbos. What that means. Does that mean mamish ein binyan b'kelim? And whenever you find any ister in terms of making a kli, it's not binyan, it's makavapatish. That's what she does, Rashi. Shitas Tosis is mechalik. Shitas Tosis says even in kelim, it's possible to have a binyan, but in what way? Only aide what's called tika. Remember this guy? It's called tika when you stick things together firmly. Tosis even adds in the chizuk ve'umnas. We do it with strength and craftsmanship. Then, even in Kalim, one could have binyan, not only Bekarka. Ikur binyan is Bekarka, yet the Kalim is only Beteka when you're sticking things together in a firm way. Now, so the Chazon Ish thinks in this situation you're dealing with both. And you're dealing with both, and this is going to be critical as we proceed. In what way? Because, first of all, in terms of electric outlets, those are attached to the wall. And there, the source of electricity is coming within, it's coming b'machobar. So therefore, he thought that that's binyan mamish. You don't even get, forgetting about kelim, forgetting that I'm trying to turn on a fan with that, which is a kli, it's coming from the karka, it's mechubar lekarka, mechaber lekarka, it's binyan mamish, he said. Besides that, even if you'll tell me, besides the binyan bekarka, even if it's kelim mamish, let's say I'm using a battery type of afal pichein, that's still going to be considered binyan. Why? Because it's in the form of tekah. Because I'm putting wires together in a way. Maybe before I say my words, I'll say it in his words. Aval hachle enaf kusa bezeh dafilu bekelim ki agav nechashiv bona. Why? The psichas hachashmal shemachnisim hazerim bechutim choshiv leolam kitkah. Simply by turning on the electricity through which I am causing the conduction of electricity, of the flow, the current, through the wires, that always is considered kitaka. Before I go on, even to some of Shlomo Zalman Orbach's arguments in him, is one question in terms of the karka. In terms of the karka, it's a little bit of a chiddush to me, because in a typical case, when I'm dealing with mechubar, the typical case of binyan mechubar means I had a binyan, and now I'm adding something else on, which until now was metaltel, which was a kli, or which was something which was detached, and now I'm making it attached. I had a building, and I added a brick to that building. That's binyan b'mechubar, usually. The opposite, stira b'mechubar. Now, in the Chazon Ish's case, what happens? I walk over, I guess there still is a switch over there. No one really uses it anymore. There's still a switch. But that switch is doing what? That switch joins a wire, which already is what? Which already is attached to the wall. You're attaching a mechubar to a mechubar. Is that as obvious? It just needs a bit of thought that I'm combining not something which was detached to a mechubar, I'm attaching two mechubars to each other. Besides all the other questions which are going to be asked on the Chazon Ish, that's like no fach mi dili. To these arguments, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, of course, he's in his well-known discussion with letters and two letters back and forth between he and the Chazon Ish. Rav Shlomo Zalman, when he saw this, was shocked. He says, "I don't understand." He says, "In terms of binyan b'mechubar, it should be domed to what? It's not domed to mechubar. We already have examples like this. Let's say you have." I would say, I walk over to that door, I open the door, and I close the door, besides all the lights that are involved. In terms of opening the door, am I allowed to open the door? Of course I'm allowed to open the door on Shabbos. I'm allowed to close the door, I'm allowed to open a window and close the window. Why is it not binyan b'mechubar? Why? Because it's made to open and close. It's very different when I'm adding a brick to a building. So is that binyan b'mechubar? So Rav Shlomo Zalman thought not. He thought, I'm just using it. And furthermore, in terms of tekah, is that going to be considered tekah in terms of a kli? But and Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, every line of these, I don't think it's kedai for me to analyze every single line. If you have it on the Marmakomos, it's on the, it's kedai for you to read. It's the truth, read every line of these pieces. But so Rav Shlomo Zalman, basically, at the end of the day, he very much questions the Chazon Ish's principles. But, and in this area, before I get to the Psak, this is a as opposed to the Baal Aruch HaShulchan, who admitted full well that when he was speaking, it wasn't Muslim Bismano in his cities. So therefore, I think there are some who, once they read Rosh Lomo Zalman, and they sort of have this attack on the Chazon Ish that the Chazon Ish didn't really understand the Lishvah. I felt this way myself in Baruch Hashem. One of the Goli Rosh Hashiva told me the same. Not told me. I heard it in his name. Said the same thing. The Chazon Ish full well understood what he was saying. The Chazon Ish understood exactly what he was saying. Just as he himself points out, this is a very key line where he writes in one of his letters back to Shlomo Zalman, that in this inyan, ha'inyan toloi b'shikol hadas. Depends how you evaluate this. The Chimur Barzel, he wanted one of the comparisons that Shlomo Zalman wanted to make to him. Why is it any different? Putting electricity into a wire, why is it any different than when I heat up a metal? In a few moments, it's going to cool off. Big deal. Now it's hot. Then it's going to be cold. Nothing really happens, and now I have electricity going through something. In a few moments, it won't have it. I'm not giving it a new quality. It's just there temporarily, and the barzel tries to get rid of it. Here you're bringing out a quality of the, an innate quality of the wires themselves. Really, some serious philosophical words he's using there. And bringing this to its usage by joining them together, and again he gives two different reasons. And now he's going to be machadi something else. Herkiv haprakim zem zez, we just mentioned a minute ago. Herkiv haprakim zu bezu. First of all, I'm bringing them together. Now, you'll tell me, in what sense is it teka? Teka was when I'm, you know, when I fix my glasses. When I fix my glasses and I screw it on, even though that's a kli, so I screw on my glasses, that's teka. But here are two wires which are joining together to conduct electricity. They're together by a thread. They're not really strongly together. So in what sense is that the kas? The Chazon Ish knows that. He's not denying that. He knows this full well that it's roughly. He knows full well that it's weak. But what? He has a chiddush. He has his shikol hadas tells him. The Chazon Ish is entitled to the shikol hadas. V'lo mahani hodahavi roughly mishum dezerem chashmali mechabu mebchinas teka. Gufa, the flow, the current, gives it a permanence, makes it like the kah. That's point number one. And beyond that, tikkun hachut atmo mimaves lachayim have bone. Tikkun hachut atmo mimaves lachayim. You're, so to speak, creating life. Until now you had a dead wire, now you have a live wire. And again, Shlomo Zalman argues that he debates every one of these lines. What do you mean, Mavis Lachayim? Is that necessarily a problem? Every sentence here is kedai to mention. This could, but I think we're gonna skip some of this. Now, in terms of, is it always going to be, are we always chosesh for this binyan? First of all, I should point out that many poskim, I believe our local poskim, most poskim here will tell you that more or less the Shlomo Zalman's arguments are very convincing, and we side with the Shlomo Zalman against the Chazon Ish. In some circle, in some poskim, for example, The starting point is that basically it's Dabana, now let's proceed. You should know, not everywhere is it so pasha. Some poskim certainly are still working. It's certainly not open mukhla that we pass in against the Chazon Ish. There's certainly poskim who are still choshesh for him. I should mention, though, that our poskim generally, the poskim here generally assume that Chashmal, besides other malachos being involved, are generally being Yisrael Rabbanon. But it's kedai to mention whether or not the Chaz, you can even Chazon Ish on the Rabbanon level, and even understanding him a little bit better, exactly what the problem could be, Shlomo Zalman continues discussing. Is the problem the problem is the chibur of the chut, it's teka, or the chibur the fact that it's binyan the mechubar. There were discussions, and many of the achronim who discussed this, the sefer, very nice sefer, the Ma'ar HaShabbos of Moshe Yadler, Talmud Chacham Yerushalayim, he has 5 volumes now in Hilchos Shabbos. I believe I'm told, or Shlomo Zalman told him to spend his entire life learning Shabbos, I believe. So he wrote a sefer particularly on Inyoni technology. He has in his Chelek Dalet deals with the following question. There's a sefer, a very interesting, the Marche Lev, Professor Lev, Machon Lev, Professor Zev Lev. So it's usually Marche Lev, as you would think of Shmuzin from the heart. No, the Marche Lev is halachic discussions about electricity from Professor Lev. He was a master engineer, master physicist, who understood these inyonim, and he dealt with the following question. Because this is really very, very, very chashuv for how we further the technology. As my name, most of the things we do with electricity aren't plugging things into walls, aren't using switches. Rather, what do? Our computers basically are already on all the time. But what? But we have, we just, brush against one little thing, one little key, or you play with the mouse a little bit, and then what happens? And then the screen goes back on, and it comes right back on. Or you touch your phone, and why that works, what's called semiconductors. Semiconductors, as far as I understand, I'm sure people out there know it much better than I do, and understand how this works, but there, you're not being mechaber anything new to each other. You're not being mechaber anything new. It's all, the kli is basically already on. But, in terms of it physically, you're not putting anything together, there's no tka. But, somehow, you have a material which, if you change the pressure on it, you change the kufar, induce it for a second with electricity, then somehow what was until now a resistant to electricity now becomes conductive to electricity. I think they call it a semiconductor, a transistor. So they now, without being machaber anything, you now are able to use this gadget. So these achronim started clearing. They started within the Chazon Ish. We could ask the question, whatever level of it, so we're going to be talking about in the future, the same type of question. How do I view that? Do I say the problem is only when I'm actually being machaber something? I'm machaber anything. It's command altogether. The kli is the same computer it was before it is now. The only difference is whether it's on or not, whether it's alive. I brought life to it. That's the question. Is the Chazon Ish really trying to get to? When again, I say these in the Chazon Ish, but the same question could be asked for whoever we're going to be talking about without physically changing, without being machabe one thing to another, without a teka, without anything like that. Simply the bringing something, the maves lachayim, is going to be the underlying problem here. Even though I'm not physically changing anything, other than the maves lachayim. And parenthetically, Shlomo Zalman, even when he's thinking B'dasa Chazon Ish, thinks that, yeah, that's really what the Chazon Ish meant. The Chazon Ish doesn't mean, even though he says the Binyan Mechubar, that's kind of what I meant before also when I said this is not a multiple choice test, that it's either this or this or this. And just you'll think, okay, therefore, since I'm dealing with it's not Bekarka anymore, therefore it's Mutter. Therefore, since I'm not actually being Machadra or anything, it's not the Ka, therefore it's any, on the whole spot, everything's Mutter. No. Even in Machazanish, but again, we declare the same thing for everybody else. So the fact of not being Machadra in Gufa, bringing something, Mimavis, Lachayim, making it alive, is able to do something, is Gufa going to be a problem? We'll proceed more. Something else they talk about, again, this is a huge discussion within the Chazanish, as well within other poskim as we proceed. This is a very, again, a very hot issue that Sfarim are writing about right now. How about Shinui Zerim? Shinui Zerim, let's say a Kli is already on, right? Let's say a Kli is already on, but I want to change the volume. I want to add current to it that makes that it work stronger or better. So if the problem is that Tikkun Kli Mamish, do I say it's literally a Tikkun Kli and it's on, and once it's on, Mimavis Lachayim, it's already Chai, or life and death it's probably a yes, no question. It's not, of course, I would imagine. Or do I say that some of the poskim say b'daito, this is going to be an important nekuda, even in the standpoint of binyan, we'll get to other things soon, there's a discussion in, the Gemara tells us in the Sacha and Shabbos, it's Kuf Gimel, Chok Pisa B'Kava. Let's say I'm to make a kli. So I want it to be a certain, I want it to be eventually to hold a gallon. I want it eventually to hold a gallon. So far I dug it out, and it's only to hold half a gallon. So it's already a kli, but I want to dig out more. So am I chayav when I dig out more to change the kli, which until now was able to hold half a gallon, now it's able to hold a gallon. So it already was a kli, but could I be mosif on a kli and change and transform a kli to be a better kli, bigger kli? So here also I had a gadget which could work to X degree. Now I have a gadget which could work to X plus whatever you're adding to it. So is that gufa? That's shinui zerem. Is that a problem? Number one, standpoint of the kli, and number two, the standpoint of the electricity itself, the fact I'm adding more to the wires, going to be a problem. And again, we try to avoid this all, but in terms of hakal trila, again, in the certain situations where you have to, again, this whole discussion is, again, we're trying to avoid it. We're not playing with this, we're not playing this with this l'chatila, but a doctor who has to use this for whatever reason. So it's probably better to have his gadget on from before and only be working with shinui zerem than actually having to turn it on. Or someone who has to list out, someone who has a hearing aid, turn up and down the hearing aid, or Shlomo Zalman was more mikkel with that, because once it's already on, then he thought the Chazanish wouldn't necessarily say his problem. Other poskim argue with him, but that's the Chazanish even. But one other application or something, about Yashiv, of course, many applications seem to follow the Chazonish, and this what flows from it in terms of Muktzah. If you have a kli, if you have a fan which is unplugged, then Shitasa, we think it's not a kli. You thinks basically by turning it on, you're making it a kli. Until now, we're bringing chayim lamavis, the chayim lamavis, mavis lachayim. So therefore, until now, it's a dead kli. It's not really working. So it's motzah machmas gufo. It's not. It's completely useless. That's what he argues. Not everyone agrees to that. That's Now, let's say besides the Chazon Ish, or there are those who interpret the Chazon Ish this way, this is a bit Mechodesh, but again, trying to we'll still assume for the moment that that Molacha involved in electricity is going to be Daraisa, but there's going to be a little bit of a difference in the Chazon Ish. There's a tshuva of Rav Asher Weiss, Simin Lamed. Explains the following. That the Chazon Ish, although he may have meant Mimavas L'chaim in the utensil, he didn't spell that out. He may have meant along the lines of what we're about to say. He was speaking very technically about closing wires, and again, he was trying to articulate what he was really trying to get at, but what he was really describing didn't really get to the. He admitted it didn't fall well. It was more that his chush felt that way. So Rav Asher Weiss says this. He says that there's a Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi which says the following: Yerushalmi Perek Zayin Halacha Beis in Shabbos. Yochanan Reish Lakish Avdin Hayu Bahay Pirka Tlas Shinin Uplug. They were working on Perek Gadol. Still, the old Melacha Shabbos for 3.5 years. Afkun minei arba'im choser achas toldos al kol chada v'chada. On every one of the Lametes Melachos, they were able to somehow come up with 39 toldos for each one. So I'm going to do the math. 39 times 39 is a lot. Okay. Then he continues. Man de Ashkechon mismach samchon. So the one they were able to figure out, this is a tolda of Mestama, this is a tolda of Bishal, this is a tolda of Malabin, this is a tolda of Boger. Ha de lo Ashkechon, and this they couldn't find an Av Malacha to which to pin it on, mismach abduha mishum make bepatish. They pinned it on what? Makeh b'patish. Obviously, there's a huge chiddush here. I'll read the Pnei Moshe first to tell you what the chiddush is here. Pnei Moshe explains what the words seem to say. Mashem matzu hasmicho la'av samchu. Whatever they were able to lean it on, a particular av they connected it to. Mashem lo matzu lasmicho la'av. What they couldn't find, which av is this exactly? Asuha told us the makeh b'patish. This is a huge chiddush for two things, for toldos. I'm not dealing so much with the lumpus of toldos right now, but it's an honorable mention for a minute or two. I mean, we usually thought is, once we have an av, malacha, and then the shaila is, what exactly is domet to that av? And then, we have, this is domet to that, so this also becomes a toldo. This is also domet, that's also a toldo. Here, the starting point is very, very, very different. The starting point is, the toldo is, wait a second. The Chazal felt that this is something the Torah asked. Now, Mistama, this fits under Ksiva. This fits under Tochein. Okay. This, where does this fit exactly? This should be Aser. This is something about this does not sit right to do on Shabbos. On the Raisa level, we're talking here. This is clearly against what Shabbos is. Now, so where do we put this? So now comes the other side of the Chiddush, that Makeh B'Patish becomes this Kloliastic Malacha where it fits everything that doesn't fit anywhere else. The Evan O'Ezel. The Michas Asher continues quoting in Evan Ozel, who says the same thing, but that's a Rambam, that any Meleches Uman, even though there's no other Malacha, for example, he quotes something. I should have brought the Rambam with me. I have it. This is. I don't know if I wrote the Perek. Halacha Yedayin. The Perek Halacha Yedayin, yeah. Perkei Alach Yizayin in the Rambam writes Hamapis Morsa having Makid of Hatish Mishum the Meleches Harofe. The Meleches Harofe they have a Makid of Hatish. What does it mean? So it's because it's a Maisa Uman within itself. It's hard to pin down what the Melecha is because it is a Meleches. That's his take on this. Maybe someone else could have an alternative understanding of this. But his take of that Rambam is the pshat in it is. Gufa doing something chashiv on Shabbos is makiv patish. What other malacha is it? I don't know. It's makiv gufa. That's what makiv patish is. It's a total makiv patish. Maybe as. One mention of this. Because of that, it explains Rav Moshe in his tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva Dalet Pei Dalet, or Chayim Dalet Pei Dalet, was asked whether or not one's allowed to use a microphone on Shabbos Yom. So he says two things which are more obvious why he'd ask it. He asked it in number one, Bishulam Afsha Milsa. At least it makes a lot of noise, and it's a nisr cliche. Hashem yavo l'sakin. He'll come to. He has to fix the wiring, fix it, adjust it. Fine, good. Those we understand. But then first, I'm presenting them out of order. But before he presented those, he says two other things which are a little bit fascinating. Firstly, he says kivon. The kol hanishma eino kol ha'adam atzmo. Since when the voice which is heard is not the person's original voice, which has obviously its own tremendous nafkamina for a billion other areas, elo kishemidaber nasir rosham shall have a rosham sham. It within the microphone it creates an imprint of his voice, and therefore it creates an echo. And therefore you hear the echo. In other words, it's a change of his call. What malacha is that? You go name it. What malacha is making a roshem in a microphone with one's voice? There's no letters. Don't tell me it's ksiva. And I'm not sure we're thinking it's Tiva anyway. Yesh al kolponim ezech shash malacha me'achesh and ischadesh ezech dover shayidezen nishma kol me'rachok. Somehow through that, until now, I've been able to speak to this distance, now I'm able to speak further. I have a wider range. Do'ulai have a makib apatish v'ulai bona. Yesh lochosh le'isr darayis afshalo barer ho'isr.
She does this?
Rosh. That was Hezbollah number one, first thing he said. Then the second thing he says is, Shalafi midas hakol nigdal koacho tzuas ha'elektri. Depending on the strength of his voice, causes more of a force of electricity. The nimsa shebe diburo nimsa magdil umaktin es ha'elektri. You want deeper, you're causing more voltage, more current to go through. The rowan zebechosh, it's obvious. The shtamshus bekoach ha'elektri, yesh chshash isa daraisa afalo havara, yesh la'ayin bezetuvo lemaisa. Again, what malacha is he talking about? He knows, Rav Moshe Feinstein guaranteed he knew he learned the Mishnah and Shabbos, he knew the Lamed Tes malacha. What malacha is he talking about? So it's very, very shayach along the lines that Rav Asher Weiss was describing, that when you're describing doing something chashiv, and in this sense, he thinks using electricity to do it is gufa, something chashiv. It's not just simply run-of-the-mill type of thing which people do, which don't take an expertise, and it doesn't take much of an expertise to speak into a microphone either. But apparently, gufa using that, using such a koach, you had to have him, entertained. And again, it's only achshash isra, because in the very next tshuva, he discusses the same kemat, the same issues in terms of Rachman al-Islam, someone who needed a hearing aid. And it sounds like a very, 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 very similar shaila. But there he says, we're not going to make gzeira in terms of the Rabbanans we started with. It's not Ubda Dechol, it's not Ubda Dechol. And in terms, we're not going to make gzeira of Shammai Yisakin Klisher for a Yachid, for someone who has a specific need. And in terms of these two Daraisas, it's Achshash Isser Daraisa. It's Achshash. We're not going to force Achshash Isser onto somebody who's in need.
But I guess the hearing aid that confused me always is that, right, it's not the guy who has a hearing aid, it's everyone who's talking to that person.
So that's a follow-up discussion. That's what I wanted to, the point I wanted to get to, excellent. Well, for him, excellent question. So there are discussions, should one speak directly to him or not? Should one, when you speak to the general room, it gets, I'm not going to be marach on this right now, but when speaking in general, it out into the air. So that may or may not, may or may not cause the, could be a Dovr Sheinu Miskaven at one. Dovr Sheinu Miskaven, that may or may not, group one, not speaking directly to him, may be less of a problem. I'm speaking in general. And there are definitely those who are choshesh for him, certainly about speaking directly to him. Probably get into the person speaking, is probably a situation, the low nechel, depends. If you want the person, if they're speaking directly, then it's much more problematic. It may be more problematic, they're posting more nechel there also. Before I get back to a little bit more, a few more words of Rashi Weiss, that's what it says for Shpuz Yitzchak of Yitzchak Darzi. Also wrote many, many svarim on these inyanim, technology, many other things, machadesh, many different ideas, often the chumra. So he presents this possibility that, again, even though they weren't sure that he presents Rav Moshe and he presents. He quotes Alpidus Yerushalmi Hanal Delo Ashkechon Mismach Amak Bepatish. That's the way he explains this tshuva of Rav Moshe. And that's where I got this idea from, by the way, not my own. And he continued. Then he asked about Yashiv and how does one avoid if there are so many toldos out there? Then how are we sure that we're not being over these toldos regularly? We don't know all of them. He says the way to do it is basically Chazal, be sure to keep what Chazal are saying. Does Chazal have a sense of what these toldos would be? At least, even if it's not Ostin Midaraisa, at least it's Ostin Midrabanan. That's part of the Siyog HaTorah. Take it a step back to where we were a minute ago in terms of Rav Asher Weiss. He does very, very interesting things with this. Now, assuming the Malacha is Makim B'Pat. And being that that's the case, so first of all, he gets very upset in terms of somebody asked him, the way the question came to him was, okay, in terms of the cards, which are used to open up the hotel doors. So, according to the Chazon Ish, it's not been in any way, it's already a door, so it should be mutter because there's no binyan. So, to which Rav Asher Weiss answered, "What? Okay, fine. Maybe we'll be machmir like the Chazon Ish. We'll be mekel like the Chazon Ish and say that's the end all of electricity. That's all because in this case it's not binyan, therefore it's going to be mutter. Beyond that, the Chazon Ish didn't mean that anyway. I'm creating a circuit anyway by doing so, by using the cards. I think the whole thing was ridiculous. That was how the tshuva was. First of all, this is binyan anyway, and second of all, there are other problems besides that. Now, what are the other problems? We said his problem is makir patish." But therefore, he takes that bein l'kula bein l'chumra. This is there in that tshuva in Chas Asher. It's also rewritten, and he adds some more in an article in Yeshua on Chelek Chavtes. A lot of anyone's really into these topics. There's a lot of very interesting articles there from leading poskim about some of the newer issues in Yeshua and his Pelek Chav Tes. That Ein Ha Iser Machmas Etzem Hazerem. The problem is not the actual turning on electricity for some random nothing reason. Ella Machmas Ayidei Zeh having Machmas Patish Ayidei Tzira Chadasha. I'm creating something new. Memela Ein Ha Oser Elam Kein Ika Misgeres Amagal Toeles VeTotsa Gluya Aniris Leinayim LeSharchu Sheyada. Therefore, it's only going to be us there if there's some import to what I'm doing. Besides factors of Enum Iskavin and the like, there's Pashat no Isser. There's no Isser unless, again, the whole Isser here is that there's Mulachas Machsheves. The whole Isser is that I'm not going to pass it, I'm doing something constructive with it. If I'm not doing anything constructive with it, then it's Tama, a bleep Ba'alma, it's Tama, a meaningless light which no one cares about. And it's that may or may not, maybe a light one, but it's something. Some of the examples. One of the things he speaks about. Let's say a person who's on Hatzalah, he's a doctor, has to carry his cell phone with him. Okay, so I understand he has to carry his cell phone with him because he has to get a call. Now, is he allowed to move? Why can't he move? Because every time he's going to move, what happens throughout the day when you move? Your phone is going to, the bars in it, it's going to change. The bars and how, in terms of reception, is going to change. If you have 3 bars, 4 bars, 5, whatever it's going to be, then by your moving, you're going to change the amount of bars on your phone. Or similarly, maybe you'll tell me that's not going to happen every time you move. I'm going to have to guess back to how you define a segregation. But if you stay in your spot, it's not going to move. But if you move throughout the day, it's going to change. Okay, but how about a little better example? How about a GPS? How about if somebody's hooked up to what do they call it? They have either they're on house arrest or they have what's that?
An ankle bracelet
because yeah, for what disease? For the what's that? Someone who's sick, they have Alzheimer's. Someone has Alzheimer's. They put on one of these things on their ankles in order to track them. So are they allowed to move? It's a particular ratio. They're moving. We're told today wherever they move, it's going to pick up where they're going. So, sun post game. Certainly, the difference of the first, the moving the bars of the reception, or just look bars either, and supposed to just look. He wants to say that. He wants to say that. And again, if it's binyan, if the problem is binyan per se, then it's binyan. Okay, then objectively, it's a malacha. There's an objective malacha going on, and then okay, there's an objective malacha. And you have to start asking questions. What do you hear? You miskavi and miskavi and miskavi, but. Rashi Weiss says, what are you talking about? There's no malacha. The malacha is only when I'm having to do something, when I'm trying to be machshir something. When nothing significant is coming out of this bichlal, a bar is changing, okay. Or a chol is moving in his hospital bed, and therefore the more lines appear on the chart. Mavika. You're changing out the line moving on the chart. Mavika. Or not if the chart may be worse, on the screen. The chart may be Kaksiva, make believe.
Does that Svara only work for Makim Patish or by other?
It doesn't even work. It works most easily. I'll get to this in a second. This is going to be a very, very important clue that we're about to bring out. There is a, let me be mocked him right now, very important, okay. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid about the following. Let me step before that even. There is a, we know the machlokas between the Aruch and everybody else. The Aruch and everybody else, whether psikresh or glonechol is mutter or not. So, one of the Aruch's rayas is from the Gemara in Sukkah, which tells us that hecha de'ika hoshana achriti. It's mutter to take off the berries from the Hoshana. If you have another one anyway, then it's mutter. So which the Aruch therefore says, you see, it's makid, it's tikkun mana, but it's mutter because it's a psik reish. Every time you take it, I'm being misakim mana, but it's mutter because it's lo nechale. To which the Ramban retorts, what do you mean? That's very different. Why? Because I'm not being mechavim for that at all. I'm sorry. Without by being mechavim for that Hoshana, it's not a Hoshana, it's a piece of wood. Without my being interested in it, there's no tikkun mana bechlal. It's not like Stam is a psikresh of lo nechle, an objective malacha is happening, but it's lo nechle. But in this situation, the whole thing that makes it a malacha is the fact I want it to be my Hoshana. It's Hoshana Achrit, I don't want it to be Hoshana. There's no tikkun mana bechlal. That's what the Ramban and the Targum over there. Let's take it to the next level. There's a Gemara which speaks of pouring cold water onto a new pot, and after it was just heated up. Right, Yumadav Lamadav or elsewhere. V'halo mitzari. So the Gemara says, "Me'ena mitzari, ena miskavim l'kach, ena miskavim l'kach." So what? So most Rishonim tell me, in that situation, it must be that it's not a psik ratio. It must be that it's badly going to happen, otherwise it's a psik ratio. It should be a problem. The Rambam seems to quote that halacha in Perek, I think it's Yudbeis Beis, I may be making it up, but it's around there, I think it's Yudbeis Beis, says that it's not a malacha, it's just simply not a problem because Eino Miskavim Lekach. To which the Magen Mishnah asks, what do you mean Eino Miskavim Lekach? It's a psik resha. Why is it enough? To which the Magen Mishnah says, and the Magen Avraham in one place quotes this, the Svara, says that since you're Eino Miskavim Lekach, Memela, there's no tikkun mana. The Mela, there's no tikkun mana by Mitzari. Right? That's what the Magen Mishnah says, but that's our Rambam explaining why, even though it's a psik resha, it's badly going to be Mitzari. But since I'm not doing it to be Misake Mana, tikkun mana is only at least this type of tikkun mana, but probably Gan Shai have to say all tikkun mana is only going to be when you're mechavim for it. Now, so Mamish yesterday morning, I asked this to Rav Shechter. I said, how do you apply this with my Nenu? Would I say, therefore, in terms of our use of electricity, could I go walk into a room, this is going to be a huge, huge, huge kula. Let's make believe that turning on an LED light, the problem is tikkun mana. The Raisa, the Rabbanon, I'm afraid I was going to present it in a different way, but I'm afraid it's short, at a shortness at a time. Rav Shechter's Shita is in terms of what's the Issa the Rabbanon? Forget about besides of Asher Weiss, who says it's tikkun mana, it's makir patish daraisa. The Shechter Shita here is that he patterns it after a Gemara in Ksuvis. Turning on electricity is more like a sinor sh'aluba kashkash. Gemara in Ksuvis, asamach, that a pipe which is clogged up by unclogging it sometime in a certain way could be an issur d'rabbanan of tikkun. Getting the system, the plumbing system, to work again. The Shachli, I believe, sees this to be the same thing. Getting the system to work again is again an issur d'rabbanan of makkah d'patish. So whether I'm talking for Rashi Weiss and this is the Raisa level, or for Shachli or the d'rabbanan level, whatever, be that as it may. Now, so am I going to say, in this, let's say, in so many of the various cases, you want to walk into, we have signs on the doors here, right? The signs on all the higher floors here in this building. Don't walk in on Shabbos, you're going to turn on the light. So why did I say, maybe is this the correct Sarah, that to say, what do you mean? The whole thing is Einav is coming, I eat the psik ratio. The psik ratio about what? The psik ratio about tikkun mana. The psik ratio of tikkun mana, to which the Magen Mishnah and the Magen Avraham in one place says, tikkun mana, be'enim is kavim, it's not tikkun mana. So although it's a psik ratio, and a psik ratio, the nechile, you want the light. It should be mutter based on that svara. So Rav Shechter told me, wait a second, we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin the way. Yeah, the Magen Mishnah says that, but Rov Poskim explained that same very Gemara to say, what do you mean that it's talking? It must be talking about that it's not a Psik Reisha. So I checked it up afterwards, and then I followed up with that question and asked, wait a second, but how about where there is a lesser of a tikkun, a less objective type of tikkun? To which he answered me, maybe. He heard what I was saying. And this is where Rav Asher Weiss is coming in, and this is where I'm going to add in a little bit more to that where that discussion left off yesterday. The Gufa, the Mishnah Berurah, seems to have a steer. Mr. Bru himself seems to have a stira. In one case, when he's speaking about the putting a kli in cold water after the hot water, this is in Simen Shin Yud Ches. He writes there, Mr. Bru says, why is it mutter? Because it's not a psik reisha. Mayri de eino psik reisha. He doesn't quote the Svar of the Magen Mishnah. He says, Mayri de eino psik reisha. Me'idach, the same Mr. Bru in Hilcha Shin Lamed Dalet, in Simen Shin Lamed Dalet. I believe it's a few days, says over there, why is it mutter? He quotes the Svara of the Magen Mishnah. He quotes because, kivan she'enu mechavim l'kah, without any t'nai that it's not a psik reisha. So the Bir Halacha himself, I guess he was friendly with the Mishnah Berurah, so he explained, what Chatter is, and Ricky Baker says the same thing, and the Gedolei Achronim all say the same thing. There's a huge difference. And they tell you what context he said in Shin Lamed Aleph. In Shin Lamed Aleph, he was speaking not about a kli, rather a gacheles. You stop speaking about a kol. So when I'm speaking about a kli, anytime I am mitzareif, I am being mitzareif. I am misaki in a kli. It is a kli, I'm being misaki in it. Masha'inkin, a gacheles is only going to be a kli in what sense? In as much as you're making it into a kli. A gacheles is not a kol. It's a useless piece of nothing unless I turn it into a kol. It's not a kli. A kli is a kli. So then, in one of the cases there is an objective tikkun, whether or not I'm mechavim for it or not. In the other case, there isn't. Only in as much as I'm being mechavim for it, it turns into a malacha. That's gufa in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, be that, once we understand such an idea, it's very easy to say, when I'm speaking about turning on an LED light, there's an objective tikkun. The lights are on, until now they were off. Masha Inkain, if I'm speaking about something going on inside a gadget, which no one really knows about, no one really sees about, no one really cares about, so is that a tikkun mana at all? Yeah, there's a change. Another very important example, which is very, 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 very relevant to almost everything going on, is my nano. I brought this with me, this was in an Eretz Yisrael recently. They put it out and they're distributing this for free all over the place, offering all types of pots and the Shabbos elevators and the whatever. At one point, Rosh Hashanah was Megal, now he wouldn't be Megal anymore. And things may have changed. There really may be something which changed, which I'll explain in a second, but the question is whether that matters or not. And this is going to be very, very, very important in terms of most of the new refrigerators, in terms of thermostats. Because there's something what's called now an encoder, as I'm told. This is what the Svarim writes, this is what it says in here, this is the Sefer of Yitzhak Darzi, of Morgenstern, his son put out a Sefer, Hamat Bach, Bahalacha, came out this year, the kitchen, Bahalacha, kitchen utensils, describing in terms of all types of Yoridea, Shiloh, very, very interesting. A lot of interesting things. But, okay, within that, they all... This is my name. It used to be the shadow when you open a refrigerator door. What would happen? You have to question by your opening it, are you causing it to go on? Yeah, so it's probably not going to happen right now. It was a shayla of Davar She'eino Mitzkavein, and a grama, and a grama, psik reisha of the grama, so that one be good. It's going to happen later on, eventually it's going to go on, but it's not going to happen immediately, so most posts were mapped to you to open and close refrigerator doors. Normally, other than the lights going on, as long as you shut off the light from before. Now, This Maneinu thing's a little bit more complicated. Yosef Das, Yosef Machon. The more we try to make things more efficient, through that we may have caused ourselves more problems. We may have caused ourselves more problems. The Gabi Hilchos Shabbos. The intricacy we made it. Now the minute we open it, the computer is inside the system. Know that we open the refrigerator. It knows it's going to start beeping, and if it's open too long, it's going to start. It's going to start working harder in X amount of seconds. But it knows that not in 30 seconds. It knows that right now. It's inside the computer right now. It knows that you open the fridge. It knows that in the computer. So the shiloh is going to be, does that matter right now? Forgetting about, is that a grumma for the future? That is a psik resha in the here and now. By my opening the door, it's doing something right now, albeit it's... Sometimes it tells me that. Sometimes it says that, oh, now the door is open. It's written. Does that matter? In fact, it's written. But the fact, maybe even less than that, the goofball within the computer. I change circuits within the circuitry of the computer. By my opening it, now it knows that the door is open. Or the elevator, it knows that you went in and you weigh X amount of pounds and tells you to go on a diet or not to. It tells you whatever. So it stores certain information there. Is that gufa going to matter? So many of these poskim say it matters. So do I say a malacha, a davar she'eino mitzkaven, in this type of, what are we going to say? It's some type of machshavah d'pathis that you don't care, that you don't know about it, you're not being machshavah of it at all. Does that matter at all? There are some poskim who will tell you that. So much more to do, but let's say I have something completely intangible. So am I going to say if I make a tape, a recording on Shabbos? Let's say I would make to say this year, and I was going to make a recording, and I want to sell it. I want to sell this year. I'm going to sell the copies of this year. So could I do that on Shabbos? Until now, I walked in with this gadget. And afterwards, I have what? I have this gadget. The same exact gadget. Physically, it's exactly the same thing it was before and after. The only thing that changed is now there's some information stored inside that gadget. So is that considered a problem? Usually, when we think of Malachos or Shabbos, usually there's a physical change. Usually, until now, I didn't have a house. Now I have a house. Until now, I had whatever. You understand where I'm going. So gufa, the fact that information is stored on something, does that matter? So even Rav Shlomo Zalman, who denied, who argued with the Chazon Ish in terms of classical, in terms of Bona, in terms of electricity, he thought even if I were to let's say magnetize something or make a tape out of something, turn something into a permanent, so give something some permanence out of it, even he thought that probably was a form of makapathy slash bending. I made a kli out of it. I did something to it. I made something permanent, even though I didn't change it physically. Which gets me to, let's say, this is where it's going to get worse, the same issue, which I'm not going to be machaving for, may or may not be mutter, is what to talk about in terms of applying that, svara of, it's only going to be also when I'm being machshav something, that same svara. If I'm going to be machshav something, may turn nothing into something. The Hainu. There was a Rav Heinemann discussed the following: are you allowed to program? Some poskim say, to make a long story short, grumma is mutar on yantiv. So we had an oven which you're allowed to program, which he thought Shabbos mode. Yontif mode, you were able to program it on Shabbos. It wasn't written anywhere that you programmed it. You just typed in what time you want, whatever you want, and it would be stored in the machine. Nothing would be written anywhere, and it would know to go on in 2 hours, 3 hours. So one question is that grumma, or not? Not for now. But beyond that, do you say, gufa, the fact that I am... At that very moment, besides the grumma, I'm playing with electricity and storing information in a computer in order to do something later. That's not, he thought was, what do you mean? I'm doing nothing of anything. There's no shinoi anywhere. There's no change. No physical change anywhere at all. It's the same exact machine that it was before. And he knows that I'm changing circus, but he thinks that's irrelevant. Gan Shaykh to say the fact that I'm trying to do something, bimiskaven, and I know that it's there going on in the kishkes on the inside of the machine, and I'm changing the at that point, I'm turning on circuits, on and off circuits, there is a tikkun mana going on in that situation, the rice of the button, I have no idea, depending, you ask your local rabbi about that, but it's much more problematic in my eyes when you're being mechaving for it. When you're being mechaving for it, as opposed to, there is a tikkun, one could say there is a tikkun mana, as opposed to when you're not being mechaving, that same thing were to happen. Let's say you walk into that same type of room, and the thermostat, you know it's going to go on every time. You know it registers the fact that you're there. It knows that you're there. It knows exactly where you are. It's well past 1984. Then that gufa may or may not be a problem. That's a very, very important issue in terms of there's not any how things have changed. Just one last note, of course. One should be careful in terms of all of this, in terms of Uvdun Dechol, in terms of Zelusa de Shabbos, and besides whatever tools one will possibly could come up with here, one has to be very, very careful in terms of, has to make sure to keep the Kedusha Shabbos intact, and as is, realizing that as much as Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah in this area particularly, this is where the Mechashev and the computer, and this is the Ein Lecha, this is where the machshava comes in most evident, and therefore we have to be so careful to make sure that the Kedusha Shabbos remains in there.
Okay. Sure, thank you.
232 wants to dive in here.